Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
Sometimes the safest place is the most dangerous. You're tuned in to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring psychotherapist and author Siobhan Scott.
John Diddy Combs and the latest round of accusers have come to light. I feel like it's kind of like an every Monday thing now. It's like in school, you get chocolate milk on a certain day of the week. Every day here now, it's like certain day, new Diddy allegations coming down. Seven new ones. These are not the seven from last week, by the way. So we're now up to like 30-some official civil cases against him, and it ranges. There's all sorts of accusations, and here we're going to break some of them down. Joining me to discuss, Siobhan Scott, psychotherapist and author. Siobhan, what strikes me about this is the celebrity culture, I guess we're going to use that term. I don't know if that's truly what it is, because it feels more like it turned into a hedonistic cult than it did celebrity culture. Like, it went there, I think that's what was the guys drawing him in with celebrity culture, and then guess what, everybody? It's far darker than that. The one that specifically got me was one of the first ones reported on this last week. The 13-year-old girl that claimed she was there apparently got in through one of the limo drivers, let her in and said, yeah, come on into the party. Great idea. It was at the 2000, this is 24 years ago, MTV Video Music Awards at the after party. Jane Doe says she was in a room. Diddy came in along with a male friend, a male star, and a female star, and the two males sexually assaulted the 13-year-old while the female watched. It's an allegation, so it is what it is, but this idea that there's no, I mean, this is very unhuman. The 13-year-old was treated not like a human being, and the fact that the female stood there and watched. I mean, one could argue, well, was she shocked? I'm going to go with she's used to it, based on what we hear in this story. It's not something I think that any normal human being or healthy relationship would do of like, hey, honey, do you mind if I go rape the 13-year-old in front of you? Okay, thanks. Diddy's doing it. I think it's okay. I mean, that seems to be how this played out. What is going through one's mind that this is that normalized that one could just sit there and be like, yeah, have fun, honey.
Yeah, I think you nailed it with the title Hedonistic Cult. I mean, that's exactly what it sounds like with, the, you know, this in crowd of people and unspeakable things going on. And everybody just sort of goes along with it and validates it. And what is the full extent of this going to be? It's really, I mean, we want to say unbelievable, but, you know, it keeps happening. And so it seems like it's something far greater than anybody could have ever guessed.
How the hell did Diddy normalize this shit? Maybe it wasn't even Diddy who normalized it. Maybe it was just kind of part of their culture, if you will, in a real sick way that this stuff goes on at parties. But at some, unless you grew up with this, at some point this was normalized. I mean, I guess I'm having a hard time wrapping my mind around how you go from like, I'm at a party, okay, I'm kind of uncomfortable, I'm going to go away, they're kind of getting sexual, to like this, where it's like, your partner is raping someone and you're just like, hey, can I have another vodka and Sprite? You know, it's
exactly
what's going, like, how do you get there from point A to point B?
Yeah, it's hard for me. I'm a person who has a very sensitive conscience and a very strong awareness of right and wrong and respecting other people. And I raised my kids that way. So when we look at folks who would ever engage in this kind of behavior, I can't really wrap my head around, especially to have a female that would participate in some way as a perpetrator. You know, again, are we looking at a lot of people with cluster B personality problems, and they all just sort of met each other and facilitated each other and were drunk with the money and power and got away with things for so long that they just continued. Yeah. And it's you know, for me personally to wrap my head around it and say, how does anybody get there? It's like, it's beyond me. Hard to imagine.
In a lot of these cases, when I say these cases, I'm thinking of like Epstein, I'm thinking about R. Kelly. There's been a female aspect to it, mm-hmm. in terms of not just, you know, victims, but in terms of recruiting, in exactly. terms of being part of the system. We had Ghislaine Maxwell with Epstein. We had some of the women that were part of R. Kelly's harem, basically being a part mm-hmm. of it. I'm wondering if we're going to see that here as more names come out. It almost seems like it has to be part of the recipe for this sort of world to thrive, having, you know, a safe female figure be there
yeah.
to make some of these women walk in and go, oh, this isn't so bad. I mean, she's a woman. She wouldn't mm-hmm. wouldn't lead me wrong. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if we're going to see that here, and I'm wondering if we're going to see it like in a big name way of like a big female celebrity being tied into something like this. What's your thoughts on that being a possibility here?
Yeah, nothing that would surprise me. Even with Harvey Weinstein, there were women that, yeah. that knew what was going on and facilitated, you mm-hmm. know, his rape of female stars. So it's again, insidious. Hard to imagine how a woman could validate the abuse and rape of other people, and particularly little girls. But does it happen? Yeah, all the cases you mentioned.
I guess the question here on that, when we look at these other cases of Epstein, of Weinstein, something about the Steens, of what we have here with Diddy, and all of that. Yeah, and you have that female figure that is in there facilitating this stuff. I mean, and sometimes we've heard allegations of them participating in it as well. Mm-hmm. How do you get that? I mean, what is the mindset there? Is it something where they were groomed for so long and there's, you know, there's almost a bitterness there of, well, I went through it and I'm okay. And it almost like validating their own abuse of like finding some reason for it by having others experience it too. So they're not alone and other people are doing this. It kind of makes theirs not so bad. I don't know. I mean, it seems yeah. like a very twisted, weird way of trying to justify this in one's mind.
Yeah, I don't know how often we could find evidence that somebody who engaged in this kind of behavior had this happen to them in the past. It certainly, I'm sure, happens sometimes, but a lot of the time it doesn't. And really? We never do find a good reason for why, other than they were enamored with the wealth, the power, this status that they got from this, you know, this powerful male that they were in essence serving. And, you know, how do people override what we think of as a normal conscience, other than maybe they never had a normal conscience to begin with? And for some reason, there just are people like that.
Yeah, that's the sad reality, I think, that we don't want to believe sometimes. Siobhan Scott, psychotherapist and author, thank you for joining us. The latest wave of allegations against Diddy forces us to confront some unsettling truths, not just about the man at the center of it all, but about the culture that surrounds and enables this kind of behavior. It's easy to dismiss these stories as part of a depraved celebrity lifestyle. What's more disturbing is how normalized this behavior seems to have become for some. When abuse is allowed to flourish in environments masked by wealth, fame, and status, we have to ask, how deep does this culture of complicity go? There's an eerie pattern here. Just like the cases of Epstein and Weinstein, we see women not only victimized, but also participating, facilitating the abuse, perhaps as a way to validate their own trauma or maintain their place in a toxic power structure. How do individuals reconcile such monstrous acts with their own sense of identity? Are they trapped in a cycle of abuse, or have they become something far more dangerous? People who see this as the cost of access to power. At the heart of it all lies a troubling question. How does a person's conscience get overridden? Is it gradual? One line? And a crossed out at a time? Until the unthinkable becomes routine? Or is it simply that some people never had a functioning conscience to begin with? Either way, the result is the same. Lives shattered, abuse ignored, and those in power protected. The bigger question for us is this: how many more times will we allow this story to repeat itself before we demand meaningful change? Or are we so enamored with the cult of celebrity that we prefer to look the other way, telling ourselves that it's just part of the lifestyle? until it isn't. I'm Tony Bruschi. If you want to stay up to date on this case and the others that we cover, be sure to press subscribe. Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
You're in the thick of a true crime saga, every detail sinking in. And then, wham, a commercial about something you couldn't care less about. It's like being served a microwaved dinner at a five-star restaurant. But it doesn't have to be this way. Go for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. With True Crime Today Premium Plus, you get uninterrupted, ad-free episodes, extended interviews that dig even deeper into the muck, and early access so you can brag to your friends. It's like ordering the secret menu at a crime buffet. So, search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and savor every twisted detail without interruption.
Buying a car in Carvana was so easy. I was able to finance it through them.
Whoa, wait, you mean finance?
Yeah, finance. Got pre-qualified for a Carvana auto loan, entered my terms, and shopped from thousands of great car options all within my budget.
That's cool that financing through Carvana was so easy.
Financed. Done. And I get to pick up my car from their Carvana vending machine tomorrow.
Financed.
Right, that's what I said.
You can spend time trying to pronounce financing, or you can actually finance and buy your car today on
Carvana.
Financing subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply.